Are you ready for the word?
Yes.
Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you. This is the day you've made. We celebrate you. We celebrate the life, the resurrection life of Jesus. Let this day that's been marked out in the calendar be more than a historical event. Let this day be a God moment for every person here today, that we can receive something from you. Lord, we thank you for your life. We thank you for healing and saving and blessing and all the things you do in our lives. That's beyond our listing or description. Bless your word. Let signs and wonders follow it. We give you praise. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Did you get a chance to see the blood moon that was just Saturday morning? No? Some of you don't know what it was. Well, we did a series on it. But anyway, I missed it. I got up at 5 a.m. It was Saturday, like a 6 to 6:30 kind of vibe. I got up at 5 a.m. to see it. And I'm looking at it, and I was like, man, it's not there yet. It's a beautiful moon. It's going to be great. And I happened to lay back down. And I missed it. By the time I woke up, it was done, gone. But we got another one coming in September. We're going to do a series right before that talking about from a different angle, what that means and doesn't mean anything. And I would keep your eye on Israel. I encourage you. I'd keep your eye on what the Bible prophesies about the end times. I believe we are in the end times, the last days. I'm just telling you. And to go in details, we don't have time today, but we'll do another series on it so we're all on the same page, so you don't want to miss that. But it's amazing how stuff can be available for us and we can miss it. I'm so frustrated, so disappointed. And do you know, when it comes to the resurrection and the death, burial, the whole crucifixion scene that we're celebrating on Easter, and yes, Easter is more than Easter Bunny, more than those eggs, more than chocolate. Thank you very much. It's about the death, burial, and resurrection. We say that quickly in the context of a thought. But I challenge you on a regular basis to read the Bible, not as a fairy tale story, but to read the Bible as a newspaper. This was not a 10-second thought. This didn't even happen over just a few minutes. These people who walked through this process lived it out. And I want to look at the perspective of some of the followers or disciples of Jesus. Because we know that Jesus died, was buried on the third day. But from the disciples' point of view, when he died on the cross, it was not a hooray, someone is finally paying our debt. And that's really what the crucifixion's about. A lot of people died on the cross back in those days. A lot of people were beat by the Romans. But there was only one who did not deserve it. He was spotless, he was perfect, and he did it in the context of taking the sin of the world upon his shoulders. Amen? And that's Jesus. Did you hear me? That's Jesus. Let me say it again. That's Jesus. There is no other way, Jesus said, to the Father but by him. A lot of different ideas out there, but they're all wrong. You say that's narrow-minded. Absolutely, because there's only one that could take the sin of humanity upon himself, and that was Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And we've talked about this before. I think the oddity of everybody, it seems like even in the church world, they're taking Jesus out of the mix. They'll even say, I'm a follower of Christ. Well, that almost sounds really good until you realize Christ wasn't Jesus' last name. Christ was a title of position referring to a Messiah. And reason that is important, and let me just say this, I'll get off my chest, I'll move a little forward into the teaching. But the danger of that, in my opinion, is that Jesus in Matthew 24 said, in the last days, many will say, lo, there is Christ, and there is Christ. See, Antichrist, and we'll talk about that in another series, which is coming in the future, talking about the Revelation, Tribulation kind of stuff. The Antichrist doesn't necessarily mean against Christ. It also can mean, in the original text, instead of Christ. See, if we teach people to be followers of Christ and we don't introduce them to Jesus, then they'll be following the concept of Christ, and all you take is one confusing thought of who Christ is without the identification of who Jesus is, and they'll follow the wrong person. You can lead a whole generation away from Jesus by telling them, there's Christ, let's follow. Oh, I've been a follower of Christ my whole life. Oh, that's Christ. And they'll follow the wrong person because he's Jesus the Christ. Amen? I said he's Jesus the Christ. Don't get me started on this. Jesus the Messiah. And they didn't understand. Many people didn't recognize him when he was right there in front of them. They had all reasons and arguments why he couldn't be the Messiah. And yet he was standing there in flesh and blood, God incarnate. Come on now. in the flesh. And many people didn't understand. Many people missed. But even the followers of Jesus who believed in Jesus, who lived with him and supported and worked for him, even them, at the cross, they left him. Jesus said, there's something that's going to happen. And he told them, not once, many times, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be killed. But on the third day, I mean, he named it out. On the third day. I mean, can you imagine talking to somebody at work and say, yeah, it's Monday, but on Friday, this is going to happen to me. It's going to be impossible. But on Tuesday, you know what I mean? And they map it out to the minute. Jesus said, in the third day, I'm going to come back. They heard it. But what they were hearing didn't register because what they were hearing was so filtered with their own ambition. What am I talking about? They understood because in Old Testament, when it talked about the Messiah, the Christ, there was literally two different types, you could say two different rhythms of prophecies. One talked about Jesus dying on the cross. One talked about the Messiah being the Passover lamb, the Pesach in the Jewish custom, which is what John the Baptist identified when he pointed to Jesus and said, behold, the Lamb of God. And he literally said, behold, the Pesach. And every Jewish person, because that's who he was talking to, understood the Pesach, the Passover lamb, because every year they had to kill a spotless lamb so that its blood could take the place and cover the sins of the people for 1 year. It wasn't something that, okay, daddy will take care of it and we don't see it. No, God actually asked them to bring the lamb into the house so they could live with it for a few days. Why? So just like you and I, when you bring a pet in, we have a tendency to become emotionally attached to that pet, do we not? Come on, somebody, I know you treat your pet just like you treat your kids. Come on, put one more tear up for Fluffy. He eats what you eat. Come on, sleeps with you, and come on, somebody. You know, some people, we get really attached. Well, God had them do this. Why? Because he wanted them to understand that this wasn't something they could be emotionally disconnected. He was, in the future, going to send his only son. And it was emotional. It was intense. It was a high price. But he was doing it to pay the price for our sins. Because good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven. And yet Jesus, when he was going through this process, he looked at the disciples and said, you're going to leave me. Soon this is going to happen and you're going to go back to your own place. And you know what? They did. Even against their own words, because in this passage of the scripture, it talks about how Jesus was saying, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to go. I'm going to die 3 days. I'm going to rise again. And Peter stood up and said, Lord, I'll never let that happen to you. In fact, I'll die before I let you die. Oh, Peter. Get behind me, Satan. Boy, that's a good rebuke. And Peter, you think you're so strong, but you're going to deny me 3 times. See, when they understood that there's one flow of the Messiah is about the Passover lamb, but there's another whole passage's prophecies that's yet to be fulfilled about the Messiah being the coming king and ruling. And their ambition, their own desires filtered the passages of what was happening right in front of them. And they saw Jesus as the Messiah at any day he was going to establish his kingdom. Which when you understand that perspective, it makes a lot of sense where we see in scripture where Jesus would look and the disciples are over there having their own little argument on who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Why? Because they thought any day now. Say any day now.
Any day.
Come on, I got to work. Say any day now. I mean, it's like you're so excited. And hopefully any day now it's going to happen. And any day, they just knew they were going to become the rulers of the world because the Messiah would set up a kingdom that would last for 1,000 years. That's why they would ask him, Lord, what role am I going to be? Can I have the seat next to you? Can I be your number two guy? Me and you, Jesus. It's me, right? Who's the greatest? They weren't getting it. Their own ambition was blinding them. And when it came to the point of Jesus not saying, it's time, because remember when he was riding in and the people were taking the branches, the palm branches, and they were waving them and they were singing Hosanna, and the disciples saying, Lord, is it time? What they're saying is it time to take over Rome? We have so many people here right now that if we say, I'm here to establish the kingdom, kill the soldier, Roman soldiers, they just knew it was time. I mean, if they had a gun, they'd all have their hands on it. Come on, somebody. Lord, is it time? Shh, we're ready. Not now. Peter probably had his sword halfway pulled out. Lord, is it time? No, not yet. You don't understand. And when Jesus died on the cross, they left him because it was for them one of their greatest disappointments that they had ever experienced. It was not in line with their ambition. It was not in line with their goals. It was not in line with their plan. And they couldn't understand what was going on. And they were in a moment of, God, why this? Why us? Why now? Why is this happening? Have you ever been in a why moment? Have you ever been at a point where you didn't understand and you're looking for the clarity of the hand of God and you're looking and say, God, I trust you, but I don't understand. I'm disappointed. I don't understand. I'm a little confused about this. I don't understand. God, this is not making sense to me. For the disciples, it was their darkest moment. If they had clarity of the big picture, they could say, he's talked about this. We understand this is part of the process. He's paying a price, but in 3 days, it might look dark now, but in 3 days, it's all going to change. In 3 days, he's going to establish this. In 3 days, he's right now defeating the enemy at the gates of hell itself. In 3 days, though, all power is going to be given to him. In 3 days, we can become sons and daughters of the living God. In 3 days, he's going to have set them and made a path to the Father that no one else could have done. In 3 days. But they didn't get it. Do you know why I know they didn't get it? Because where they were hiding. If they believed it, if they understood it and believed it, do you know where you would be if you understood and believed it in that time set? You would be camping out at the tomb. Right? He's going into where? He's going, okay, I want to make sure I know where they're placing them because I know in 3 days, say 3 days. In 3 days, I want to be there and I want to see it. It's one thing. How awesome would it be to talk to the resurrected Jesus? There's only one thing I think might be even a little more cool, and that's sitting right there when it's happening. Woo-hoo. If you had a smartphone back in those days, YouTube, cha-ching, hits. Can you imagine being there when the physical body of Jesus starts taking on the resurrection life of God and it begins to change? We don't know if it glowed, if there's angels around, if there's music. We don't know. Nobody was there except for Jesus. If they believed, they would have been there. If they believed, they would have been there. They would have camped out. They would have taken turns bringing, they would have set up stations right there. But where were they? They were gone. Why? Because they were disappointed. They were discouraged. An interesting thing about life is that life has a way of throwing us disappointments. Life has a way of throwing us discouragements. Sometimes it's because we have so much emphasis and focus on people. And when you're focusing only on people, people in themselves will let you down because people within themselves are just human. Humanity is frail in that, you know, I mean, it doesn't justify what you do. But the reality is when you put people on the pedestal of only where God should be, you're going to be disappointed every time. You're going to be disappointed every time. That's why we challenge you. I don't care who God is using, where in the kingdom of God. Never put people on the pedestal. We honor people. We respect people. But you don't worship people. When you begin to be a worshiper of a person, you are hurting yourself and you're going to shorten their ministry. Even when God told Moses, when the people were dying of a disease, he said, take a snake, put it on the stick, raise it up. And when people look at it, they'll be healed. And it happened. But guess what they started doing? Guess what they started doing? They started worshiping the snake. And that's not the goal. We want to respect people. We want to love people. We want to honor people. But we don't worship people. Somebody's got to get your eyes off people. We talked about that last That last series, when you go through a storm, many times we'll stay longer that God wants us to be in that storm. God didn't send the storm, but he is the source to get out of the storm. And he wants you to get out sooner, not later, and be better, not worse. And the key thing is not to be focusing on people, because people will be there sometimes, but you expect them to be there all the time, and they can't give you what you're needing. There's only some stuff that can come from God himself. Jesus said, it looks like I'm all alone, but I'm not alone. The Father's with me. There'll be times that you're going to feel alone, but you're not alone. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. See, when we start totally making the withdrawals out of what we can get from people, it is short-lived and it will always leave you bankrupt. But when you say, praise God for the people who prayed with me, encouraged me, but you know what? My main source, my main feed, my main connection is not, I love them, but I can't make them something that they're not. And don't let people make you something you're not. You're not Jesus. You might be good, but you're not Jesus. I'm not your Jesus. I can't do for you what only Jesus can do. That will save you so much frustration, because we can get so caught up trying to make people serve God, make people live a certain way, make people become a certain way. You can't. You're not their Jesus. They have to walk this out themselves, no matter how much you love them. They were dealing with disappointments. What disappointments have you dealt with? How are we handling those? We see in the context of the story two different, very clear ways that they dealt with it. One was, it tells a story in Luke 24, how that there was two men the day of the resurrection. I mean, they waited 3 days, and the day of, they heard the story. But even hearing the story, they wasn't too sure about it, and they decided to leave anyway. There's a human tendency for us trying to escape instead of discover. There's a human tendency when you feel disappointed to try to escape instead of discover. And they're on their way, a 7-mile journey, Gospel of Luke chapter 24 tells us. And they're on their way to this town, and they're on their way, and all of a sudden, and they were talking amongst themselves, and Jesus shows up. Oh, praise God, he knows where you're at. I'm so thankful he knows where you're at. You might not know anything about Jesus right now, but he knows everything about you right where you're at. You might not don't know how to experience it, but he knows right where you're at. He is not limited by your own limitations or understanding. If you're willing to open up Revelation 3, he says, I'm there and I'm knocking. If you're just willing to give me an opportunity. And we see in Luke's Gospel 24 that he came right alongside him and started walking. And he didn't show up and say, I'm Jesus. He just said, what are you guys talking about? He met them where they're at in their own stuff. Don't you? He met them where they're at, right in the midst of what they thought was important. And they begin to say, where have you been? Haven't you heard what's going on in Jerusalem? You must be a stranger. Here we are, two guys that used to follow Jesus. The Bible says they're followers of Jesus. They're not too sure about it because they would be celebrating, but they were walking away. And Jesus loved them enough to say, I'm going to jump in here with you and walk with you for a little bit. And all of a sudden, they're the experts. Don't you know anything? Let us tell you. And they still didn't get it right, even when they told them. And he said, well, let me tell you. And he began to open up as he walked with them. Open up as he walked with them. Open up the word of God. And step by step in the journey, he began to reveal the promises going back from Moses to the prophets, even Psalms that had been prophesied about him. And he said, and he began to reveal who he was to them on that journey. He began to reveal who he was to them on that journey. They didn't get it yet, but he's walking it out. And there's times we don't get it. We hear it, but we still don't get it. But I'm glad that faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. And he'll keep speaking. If we're open and allow him to keep speaking it into our life. And they got to their destination. And they said, you got to stay with us. And he said, sure. And the Bible says he opened up. Or he broke the bread. And when he broke the bread, their eyes were open. And they knew who it was, and he disappeared. And they said to themselves, didn't our hearts burn within us? I'm telling you, when you feel the pains of disappointment and discouragement because things didn't work out the way you thought they should work out, don't run away. Let Jesus walk with you. Let the word of God walk with you. You might not understand it as you're hearing it. It might not all make sense as you're reading it, but you keep doing it, and I promise you, there will be a moment of time when your eyes will be open, and you're like, wait a minute, now I'm starting to see it differently. The second story, real quickly, we see is the disciples. The other disciples, where were they? They were hiding in a room. And the Bible, I love how the Bible tells us just the way it is. They weren't at the tomb waiting. Any second. No, they were hiding because they thought they were going to be next. They knew if they just crucified Jesus that all of a sudden the other team just got momentum. Have you ever watched momentum, how it plays out even in sports? If you're watching basketball right now, college? Anybody like Duke? Anyway. You know how the opponent and momentum can pick up, can change the way the game's feeling and playing? They just thought they lost it all. Momentum was on Rome's side and on the Jewish leader's side. And they thought, we're next. And so they're hiding with the door locked. Say, door locked. See, they're trying to keep everything out. And that's one of the things that happens when you face discouragement. Some run, some just implode. They just close off. They close off from the outside world. They close off from information. They close off from hearing from people. I don't want to hear nothing. I'm locking my door. I don't want to see anybody. I'm locking my door. I don't want to hear what I should do or why I shouldn't do. I'm locking my door. I don't want to know. I just want to lock my door. And they lock their door. And the Bible says that when they were in the locked room, Jesus shows up. They didn't open the door. He just showed up. Say, he showed up. He can show up even in your locked room. And he showed up. And I love it because the first thing they did is they freaked out. And he said, don't be afraid. And even when they were looking at him, the Bible says they thought he was a ghost. He goes, come on. You need to experience. This is who I am. See, when you're closed down and you've got that door locked, Jesus can still show up because he wants you to experience him. He's not, hey, you didn't get it right. I'll never help you again. He said, you didn't get it right, but I'm still loving you and I'm going to show up. Yeah. On a side note, I love one of the things, to me, it's hubris. Because he walks through the wall or door. Pretty cool. Like to have that on video also. Somehow he was able to walk, and then he walks in the room and he sits down and says, what do you have to eat? Right? This is a big moment. And what does he ask? You got some food? I'm kind of hungry. Which for me solves one of my top 10 questions about eternity. And I'm so glad to tell you, if you ever wondered, yes, when we get to heaven, we can eat. I'm looking for that apple pie. Come on, somebody. You're not getting anything. You're being hey. Think of all the stuff you could eat. And thank you, Jesus. Won't even gain an ounce. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Makes you want to come to Jesus right now, don't it? Run to the altars. What caused him to run to the altars? I think it was something about that cake. I don't know. He said, what do you have to eat? Cool thought. But what did he do? He came in where they were at and sat down with them and began to reveal himself. Let me read the scripture to you. Luke's Gospel 24 says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. Read this as a newspaper. You're looking. Can you imagine all of a sudden? See, that's my sound of what an angel's going to look sound like, hearing? Because they're so bright. Okay, so anyway. And while they're wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? I'm telling you, to begin to experience the life that God has you, you can't be looking for life amongst the dead. You can't go back and relive or change the past. You can't control people, manipulate people. You got to begin to look where life is. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We got to begin to look where he is, not where he was. Oh, I remember those prayer meetings in 1955. They were so wonderful. They were wonderful. But he's not back in 1955 as far as you're concerned. You can't go back there either. Where is he today? Where is he today? I'm going to challenge you. Because today is not only the celebration of resurrection or Easter. Today is the beginning of a new series which we're bringing into the context that everything God has for you. everything he wants you to be. We're not talking about you being greedy. Greed is wanting something that doesn't belong to you, that belongs to somebody else. We're talking about everything that Jesus paid for on the cross of Calvary for you. Your heavenly Father wants you to have it. In fact, it goes so far to saying in the Bible that the promises of God to you as a child of God are yea and amen, the King James translation, which means approved, and so be it. Don't even need to ask again. It belongs to you. But just because it belongs to us doesn't mean we have it yet. And I'm telling you, one of the things I've seen in the church world is, as people, we can try so hard, listen to me, so hard to get what's already provided. Maybe that's where you're at in your life. Maybe you're disappointed, not with people, not with the situation. Maybe you're disappointed with yourself. Maybe you've told yourself, like so many of us have, especially at the beginning of the year, this year I'm going to be better. This year I'm going to try harder. This year I'm going to pray more. Or I'm going to go to church every Sunday. This year we have all these goals, and those are good goals. And then you find yourself failing within your own efforts. And you start thinking, I can't do this church thing. I can't do this Christian thing. It's just too hard. The problem, are you listening? The problem is not you. The problem is that it's just you. The problem is not you. The problem is it's just you. And we begin to look for life amongst dead things. We're going to talk about how there's a connection between what he's called us to be and have and our understanding of who he is. He is, I am. Notice this. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Catch this. Remember how he told you. We're going to start looking back to what he redirected their focus. Don't look at where he used to be. Start looking at what the word is saying. Do you remember what he said? Because there's life in the word. There's power. God says he watches over his word to perform it. All the things that God has for healing, yes, belongs to you. But it's one thing to have it legally, but not have it literally, which means it's available to you, but you're still sick. That's not God's best. You're the head, not the tail, but you're still struggling financially. That's not God's best. Everything you put your hands to is prosperous, Psalms 1, but every time you're trying to do it in the world, you keep failing. That's not God's best. You can get discouraged, and you can run away. You can get discouraged, and you can shut down. But if you allow him, he'll come and walk alongside with you. Don't let your discouragement be the end. Let it be the next, something next for a discovery of who God is. So that changes who you are. Remember how he told you while he was still with you, Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. A great disappointment became an amazing, great discovery, all within a short period of time.